This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Got to put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes swings it.
It's there. Hardman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
Hate
me or love me. Watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Sunday right here on 1080. The Fan. The Odyssey app. 99.5 HD2. YouTube and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher III. Back in the one chair across the faux marble table is Rashawn Taylor, as always, in the two chair.
What's going on, PDX?
And behind the glass, Jordan Schultz. I was wondering why I felt so damn tired this morning, and then Rashawn hit me with the daylight savings time. We lost an hour of sleep last night.
I feel like I got hit by a truck. Like, I could have fallen asleep in the car on the way here. That never happens.
It's
like,
not a good feeling.
I'm like usually in control of my faculties. I didn't drink at all last night and felt like I did when I woke up today.
I was playing golf yesterday and I decided to walk the course instead of taking a cart, you know, get some steps in.
Oh, good for you, you athletic man, you.
Well, I'm trying to get my body weight down so I can run the 40.
Yeah, Dirt and Sprague are giving you a lot of crap for that one.
Well, also, they don't make sense because now they also say
I don't know
that,
who to side with on this.
They say that I can run a 4.51 apparently because I did not state or prove that I can run a 5.27. It clearly means that I can just run whatever I want and just, you know, make proclamations that, oh, well, if I can run a 5.27, I can run a 4.51, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not right at all. Actually,
no.
That's
yeah.
Incredibly wrong.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to do the math in my head. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if that maths.
I was like, that doesn't make sense. But I'm trying to get the weight down. So I got the steps in yesterday at the golf course.
Okay. How'd it feel?
The golf or the walking?
Well, just walking around without a cart, 18 holes.
Oh, it was fine. You know. I will say, though, my dogs, they were barking. And they were howling after that round. I have some, like, Jordan golf shoes that, what are they, the Olympic 6s.
Okay.
And those things are not conducive to walking that much.
You go inserts at all, or
like what, like soles?
Yeah,
like
if I'm yeah, like I've seen them. Like golfers have, they have them even like for being out on the golf course. I'm sure like they're like $500.
Maybe I should, but I don't know. Putting inserts in those things, I feel like I'm walking on stilts on those things already. I feel like when I put those particular golf shoes on, I am like 7-8 inches taller than I normally am.
Yeah, and golf shoes aren't, I mean, this is just me. I don't want to speak for anybody else. Not necessarily like comfortable.
Well,
super
again,
comfortable.
And again, these are Jordan 6s. Like, are you trying to walk 5-6 miles in Jordan 6s?
I'm not.
Like, that's, they're not exactly the most comfortable shoe to go on a walk. Like, yeah. I would want something that is more conducive to going on a walk and isn't going to hurt as much. So, yeah, my dogs are barking. They're howling. And then, I mean, I was just tired yesterday after the round. But also, your boy does not dabble in the greenery anymore, in the herbal essences.
Oh, yes.
When did that start?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of years ago. I do not really partake anymore. It went from being really fun and, you know, enjoying to thinking the world was going to end at any moment. You know, that usually happens in your 30s.
Wait, what?
There are some people where...
Oh, you turned back into, like, first experience guy.
Yeah,
oh,
it turned into one of those where I was
good
like,
Lord.
Yeah, trust me, I don't want it to happen like that.
Okay.
But it was definitely one of those, like... it happens to some people where you get to a point where it's not as enjoyable as it once was. And whenever you do partake, you just think the worst imaginable things and the anxiety ramps up and the paranoia. It's just not fun.
No, I can imagine.
So I don't dabble as much, but yesterday I figured I was out on the golf course with friends. I was having a good time, you know, 18 holes, the first 18 holes of the year. And so I thought I would partake, and boy, that gave me a solid nap post-round, that's for sure. There was a Taco Bell trip on the way home, too. I felt like I was 17 again.
It's one of the best.
Hell yeah.
It sounds like a good afternoon to me. I don't know. I could be tripping, but
it was fantastic.
Well, minus the price now of Taco Bell. You used to be able to get the whole menu for $18. Now it costs about triple that.
I think I might have told you guys this once before. But I've actually purchased the entire Taco Bell menu once.
Like
before.
Legit? Every item.
So check this out. Shout out to my guy. So this is.
And did you have to get a colonoscopy right
oh my
after
gosh,
that?
It didn't. It didn't. And I'll start by saying it didn't end well. But so
that,
check it out. So we're seniors in high school, and it's right after like. We just finished a rehearsal for the play Guys and Dolls.
It's like a YouTube video before YouTube videos existed.
Yeah, for sure.
Rashad's mukbang.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, for real. Like, seriously. It was one of those things. It wasn't just me, though. So it was me and like
you can do a
four
mukbang
of my friends,
with multiple
you know
people.
What I mean? So my guy,
a mukbang. Never mind. I'm not going to
nope,
this.
Don't
let's
even
not do that. Yeah.
I'm going to dump myself.
My guy, Noah, goes, man, I'm so hungry. I can eat the entire Taco Bell menu. And there's kind of like a slight pause, and we all kind of looked at each other in the car like,
bad.
It's actually not a bad idea, man. And so we ordered one of everything.
Gross.
One of everything. But instead of getting like every type of chalupa and every type of gordita, we just got one gordita, one chalupa, and then one of, you know. So take it back to our buddy's house, and we don't have much to drink, but there is like a bunch of... Mike's Hard Lemonade and PBR and other
oh my
stuff
God.
That just happens to be around or water. And
you,
stuff.
Your guys' gut just absolutely
wrecked. We went in on that Taco Bell. And mind you, it was like $28 for everything, you know? And so.
This was back in 1996.
2001, actually.
Remember those
days?
Yeah,
it was in 2001 when everything.
I could get an Enchirito for 79 cents. Yeah,
59, 79, 99, you know, was the way some of those went.
Oh, I remember the Mexican pizza.
Oh, they were fire.
The gas was under $1 a gallon. Yeah,
but they were all there, and we just start taking it apart. We're smashing stuff. And.
You're supposed to
like
eat it.
A couple hours later, everybody is like, yo, it's like
no.
Super sick. So it's a Friday night.
I'm
and
shocked.
So the next day we have a spring league like basketball game that we're playing in. And so it's super early. Like it's like the game starts at like 10 o'clock I'm late as hell. My mom rushes me there and everything. We get there and I get there and my buddy Chris, who hosted the show with us last week, his dad is coaching the team. And so I walk in the gym hella late and his dad is like, get in, because we're getting smacked at this point. Everybody's messed up. Get in the game. So I take my jacket off, get in the game. Buddy throws me a long outlet pass. Catch the ball, lay it up, goes in. My only basket of the day. Soon as it goes in, I proceed to throw up in the water fountain right in front of us. Like,
we
in the gym, you know, in the old gyms in high schools, there was like water fountains, or at least might be water fountain on the wall, like under the
sky. Oh, yeah. It like goes into the wall.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, man, threw up right into that and everything.
Hot.
And from that point it was over. And then every day, the Lakers are playing in a playoff game later that day. And they keep showing this Kobe Big and Tasty commercial. And he's biting
Big and Tasty.
He's biting this Big and Tasty. Callback. And he's got like mayo and stuff all over his. And every time I saw it, I was like,
gross. That sounds disgusting.
It was the worst day. And so it took me a long time to get back on Taco Bell.
Well, I got some Taco Bell on the way home. And then I went home and took that nap. And then proceeded to wake up and then go get some Wendy's.
Oh, you fast food really, devil, you.
I couldn't believe it.
So much for getting those steps in, huh?
Well,
oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, just wipe those right out.
Well,
yeah.
It's shameful when you go through the drive-thru once at a fast food restaurant, but then less than 24 hours later, when you decide to go to another one, it's like, okay, I think I really need to re-examine my life.
It got me.
Because I've been there, too.
I mean, hungry, happy, sleepy is what it's supposed to do.
That's true. Big question, though. What is the Taco Bell item? What is the go-to for you guys? For me, cheese quesadilla. Easy question to answer. That sauce, whatever it's called. No, I just need the cheese. The chicken's okay.
You gotta get some protein, brother.
Well, protein is in cheese, too. But that jalapeno sauce or whatever's on their quesadillas, it's to die for.
Oh, yeah, it's the Baja sauce. I got a bottle of it in the fridge.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Cheesy gordita crunch.
Ooh.
Is the one for me. Always kind of has been. I'm not sure whatever that sauce might be the same. Baja sauce, I'm not sure exactly what it is.
That stuff's good too.
But yeah, cheesy gordita crunch, hands down. They're pretty expensive. They're like maybe $6 or $7, which is weird.
They used to be $2.59.
Yeah, but did they really?
Yeah, back in the day,
man,
baby.
But, yeah, give me two of those and I'm all good.
Crunchwrap, all day, every day. It's classic. It's good to go.
That was a good addition that they brought to the menu. What, like, Crunchwrap is still relatively new as far as Taco Bell's menu. That was like, what, 10 years ago, something like that?
That was a game changer. I remember getting it in high school. So
did
I mean,
you really? Like, I don't remember Crunchwraps in high school.
That was a new thing.
Like, maybe 15, 16 years, something like that.
They actually have Crunchwrap kits, like, that Taco Bell makes. They sell those now at, like, Fred Meyer. So you can make them at home.
Well, good for them.
It's
pretty. Oh, yeah, I've made some homemade Crunchwraps.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, Joey, he likes his, him being a 12-year-old, almost 12-year-old boy, he likes only, like, corn and avocado in his burrito and cheese. Like, that's it. So a very random assortment.
Good. I mean, that's good. That's some pretty veggies in there. Get some fucking some amino fats. Yeah, he's good.
The amino fats.
I don't know, like
an avocado,
yeah,
babe.
Yeah. Is that good an fats. Amino
yeah.
fat or
I, don't know,
I thought
like that.
I thought it was an amino acid.
I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, either way works.
I don't know, tomatoes, tomatoes.
But yeah, that's what he likes in his Crunchwrap, and he said he's been craving a Crunchwrap lately because I can make some homemade ones. You got to get the problem is though, you got to get the big burrito wrap. The big tortilla.
Yeah.
So that way you can fold it over.
And do...
Yeah, if you skimp out and get some smaller ones, then
it's going to be tough.
It's going to be a mess.
You're going to have a smaller burrito.
If you don't get the right burrito wrap size, you got to cut it or whatever. So that's why that Crunchwrap kit looks so alluring. I think I got to try that.
The Crunchwrap made in 2005. That's when it was invented. So we're on the 20th year anniversary of the Crunchwrap. One of the greatest Taco Bell creations of all time.
Still a newer iteration, thanks to Harley on the YouTube saying breakfast Crunchwrap might be the best breakfast item of all time. And I would say that's probably close.
Taco Bell's breakfast is criminally underrated. Like,
it is.
People don't understand how good like the Taco Bell breakfast actually is. It looks might look like it's not all that on the commercials and whatnot, but yo, if you go and order, like, again, the breakfast Crunchwrap or the little breakfast tacos.
You know, I used to like the breakfast Crunchwrap. They used to put, like, gravy in it. I mean, there was this, like a biscuit and gravy style gravy, and they don't do that anymore. And now I'm out. I'm out on the breakfast crunchwrap.
That could change things for a lot of people.
Yeah, so I don't know what I'm going to do today. I don't know if I need to go golf again, play another nine holes without the marijuana-induced last three holes that also followed with Taco Bell and Wendy's all within the same day. I can't believe myself, honestly. I'm somewhat ashamed.
Yeah, that was a lot, man. I got to be honest.
Somewhat ashamed. But, you know, I got to live with my choices. I got to live with the consequences. Maybe hit the tonal later.
Could be good.
Give a Stairmaster.
Could be good.
I do not know. My this is at my girlfriend's house. She does not have a Stairmaster. She has stairs.
There you go.
There you go. That's good.
That's stairs a Stairmaster.
Stairs is just as good. Up and down those stairs.
Yeah.
A few times, man.
A nap does sound nice, though.
It does, right. Especially on a day like today. I have to go work out when I get home. That's the first thing I got to do.
It is a triumphant day, though. I mean, daylight savings, one extra hour of sunlight. I mean, that is...
I'll take it. It's been coming. It's been creeping for a few weeks now.
Like, I mean, thank God.
There's nothing more depressing about... being dark at 4:15, there's nothing cool about that.
No,
like there. I mean, it's my son gets out of school at 4 o'clock, so going to get him from school, and by the time we get back home, it's like closer to five or something like that, and it's already getting dark. That sucks. Your whole day feels like it's over.
Well, I was in the car last night at one point. I think it was 6:30. Yeah, 6:30, and I was and I had the quick thought coming in my head. I'm like, the fact that tomorrow at this time it's going to be 7:30 and this is what it's going to look like out, I'm like, oh, awesome. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Let's go.
Sign me the F up.
Well, I think I'll be able to see some light going to work on Dirt and Sprague show tomorrow, too, because of daylight saving.
Yes.
Right? Like it peaks out a little bit earlier now.
And I don't understand the whole daylight saving versus non-daylight saving. Like, why would people want to have what we just had permanently?
I just don't want to have the change. I felt so bad driving in this morning. I need us to pick one. If you guys want to pick this one, that's great. But I don't want to do the changeover anymore.
I want the one with more sunlight.
Fine. Let's keep it that way.
Plain and simple.
Just never change it again because I'm sick of being scared of having a heart attack and feeling like ass every 6 months. So.
Does daylight daylight savings, does that induce heart attacks?
No, daylight saving has a really
science behind that?
Bad health effect on people. Yes, I'll
state your sources, bro.
Daylight saving health effects.
Well, while you search for that, we'll take a commercial break, and we got to get into some football stuff because there has been some football happenings. I figured we'd go hockey trade deadline, but I'll pass on that for now.
This is right from PBS. Studies show that it disrupts sleep and leads to measurable adverse outcomes, including a significant increase in heart attacks.
What does PBS know?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not a damn thing. Johns Hopkins, they don't know S.
All right, well, we're going to take...
I know Johnny Hopkins.
Take a commercial break because we've got some NFL stuff. And second hour, we're going to have Roy Pittman on the show, which Rashad can do a better job of explaining who this man is, but he's a wrestler.
Well, he's...
You going to try and hand me the notes? Like,
yes, well, you're the one, right?
Here's
you're
the
supposed
copy.
To know.
No, I'm passing the rock to you on this one.
Oh, well, all good then.
I'm setting up the assist. But he will come in the second hour... I don't know. You know more about him than I do. Local wrestling coach.
Legend.
Local wrestling legend.
Member, not even just local. He's the member of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Has he been on the receiving end of a Stone Cold Stunner?
I do not believe so, but he might have taught Stone Cold everything he knows. Potentially.
That would be cool. We will find out in the second hour. But let's get into some NFL football. G No More in Seattle. We get to that next here. Football Sunday. Wait, no. Sports Sunday. On 1080 The Fan.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The Seattle Seahawks, they no longer want Geno Smith on their team. After a trade on Friday night, Friday afternoon-ish, that there were some rumblings, and then they finally pulled the ripcord, and the Seattle Seahawks sent Geno Smith to the Las Vegas Raiders for a third-round pick. So the Geno Smith era in Seattle, now officially over. This is going to be a very, very different looking Seahawks offense next year, because obviously we will not have Geno Smith. There will no longer be Tyler Lockett, as he is no longer a Seattle Seahawk. And then DK Metcalf requesting a trade as well.
Get me out of here.
So really, I mean, it's going to be Jaxon Smith-Njigba throwing passes to Jaxon Smith-Njigba after a carry from Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I mean, it's the JSN show in Seattle. I mean, this is going to be interesting, man. I don't know. The rumors are that the Seahawks are looking to acquire Sam Darnold at quarterback, but that does not take away from the fact that this Seahawks offense is going to look very different on the offensive side of the ball. And I'm nervous. I'm just I felt like, I'm not going to say that Geno gave you the best chance at winning, but I mean, going from Geno Smith to Sam Darnold, like, how much of an upgrade is that? I think that Sam Darnold had the year that he had because of Kevin O'Connell and being on that Vikings team. And
you know, having Jettis doesn't hurt.
Jordan Addison, and having even T.J. Hockenson, and having Aaron Jones is a great pass-catching back. I feel like that is. But mostly I put the success on give the success to Kevin O'Connell, who won coach of the year this season, question mark?
Yeah.
So when you go from Geno Smith to Sam Darnold in a new system, new coach, new weapons, everything, like, to me, is that going to be an upgrade if that is what ends up happening? And I love asking my son, telling my son these transactions and moves, because I feel like a 12-year-old, you know, he can give me a pretty honest opinion, especially when it's on his team. And I tell him, hey, son, Geno Smith, he got traded to the Raiders. He's like, oh, wow. And we were literally just talking about Geno Smith the day before, because I had told him about the Lockett news and DK Metcalf. And he's like, yeah, he's like, we need a new quarterback, though. And I was like, you don't like Geno? He's like, no, Geno's fine, but we can just do better. And so then when I told him that Geno Smith was traded and told him for a third-round pick, he's like, third-round pick? He's like, we should have just kept him if we're giving up a third-round pick. So I'm wondering where you guys are at on, one, giving him up, trading him, and getting a third-round pick out of it. If you think that if you can get much of an upgrade out on the market over Geno Smith, who had been a top-10 passer in the league the last couple of seasons. Again, I'm curious to see how much better the Seahawks can get at the quarterback position, which, if you're going Sam Darnold, is a little bit better. I don't know.
I think Sam Darnold is almost, I don't want to call it a lateral move, because I do think Geno Smith is better.
That's kind of how I feel, too.
I do think Geno is better, but I'm not better, but I think like you said, I think Sam Darnold have the benefit of a really, really good offense in Minnesota. I think he had the benefit of not arguably, but the best wide receiver, you know, in football on his team, who was all pro pretty much every single year. I don't think Geno had that type of roster. You know, obviously Jackson Smith and Jigma is a great addition, and he's the person you obviously you're going to build your offense around now. But having a DK Metcalf is great, but it's not Justin Jefferson. Like, I mean, so it's just kind of one of those things. But if you look at the numbers, and you're right, Joe, he's not only is Geno Smith top 10, this year he was a top 5 quarterback. He's fourth in passing yards. Now, he didn't throw as many touchdowns as Sam Darnold. But if you look at their stats, they're almost exactly identical. Yards per game, 254.1. They both have the exact same number as far as yards per game. Geno Smith threw one more yard more than Sam Darnold all season. Like, so it's kind of one of those things. That's why I kind of say it's more of a lateral move. But I think it's the Seahawks have – other things to figure out. The first that being what you do with DK Metcalf, or if you decide to keep him, or if he decides to stay, because it sounds like he's done with this whole Seahawks process and wants out. He's probably tired of getting rained on every day, and so you let go of a Seahawk. I won't call him a legend, but yeah, I guess we'll go ahead and say Seahawk legend and Tyler Lockett. When I know,
I thought you were gonna say Seahawk legend Geno Smith. I'm like,
no, I'll throw the number up on.
We're throwing around that legend word a little loosely.
I'll say Tyler Lockett is a Seahawk legend. You know, maybe not NFL legend, but as far as the Seahawks franchise, I think he's, you know, one of those guys. He's got a championship with the team, so you know
he's a legend and not taking hits. That's for sure.
No, he definitely
well, he better not. Otherwise, he definitely break doesn't. His collarbone.
So, And I look at this as not as kind of a, almost a good thing for Geno as well, because he's going to a situation with Pete Carroll. It doesn't look like Pete Carroll is looking to rebuild right now. It looks like he's trying to start fast. And I think Geno is a good start with having a quarterback that can come in. You know he can run an offense for you. You've worked with them before, obviously, being in Seattle your last year there. So, I mean, I think it could be good and bad, but I think the Seahawks have more to figure out right now if they let him go, because – clearly, last year they traded for the backup quarterback?
Sam Howell from Washington. Yeah.
That clearly, that's well, I don't think that's going to work the way you want it to. So
I'm sorry, if anybody did think that was ever going to be an option, they'd never watch Sam Howell play football because he's terrible.
He was awful, you know, and so that can't be your options. So, but if you're lucky right now, because there are some quarterback options out there. Now, are they going to be better than Geno Smith right now? We don't know. But Justin Fields is somebody that looks like they might be, or he's going to be available, you know. And so there's some guys out there that you could get to fill a void. But does that help you win if you're the Seahawks?
No. Geno
That's
Smith.
What I'm saying. Like, it does it help you win if you're the Seahawks? And Geno at least got his team to the playoffs.
Exactly.
At least once, you know. So
Geno Smith is a winner.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think so. I think so. I think when you go, and I've said this before, when you go to a bad franchise when you're drafted, like all the weight is on your show, especially if you're drafted first round. Like if you're drafted third, fourth, fifth round as a quarterback, okay, because there's a good chance you're going to a good team that's just waiting for that number one to whatever, you know. But when you go in the first round to a crappy team, you're probably going to get beat. You're going to get beat up on a whole lot.
Oh, well, he literally got beat up on by one of his own linebackers.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Yeah,
that kind of threw his career off, broke his jaw, maybe threw a little swagger off. Geno is one of the best quarterbacks as far as comebacks go since 2022, I believe. The stat was like 12 comeback wins or 12 comeback drives to lead the Seahawks to a win, which is second to only Patrick Mahomes. And four of those came this year, week 2 against the Patriots, week 10 against the Niners, and then week 12 against the Jets, week 17 against the Rams. So it's not like that's a stat from a couple of years ago. Geno's still able to do it, and even with a crappy offensive line. I'm kind of with you, Joe. Don't really know how much better the Seahawks can get at quarterback here. It'll be interesting to see if they want to go younger, because it's not really better. It's just younger with Sam Darnold. And if they want to go much younger, but what do you think? Jackson Dart falls to him? I'm seeing a bunch of people on social media saying that that's the way that they want to go. But I'm not sure that this makes it better. And getting a third-round pick, in my opinion, that kind of seems like a Jody Allen sort of regime thing happening. I know Schneider's the one leading the deal here, but this is just a herky-jerky way to do it. They fired Carroll after they had brought Geno Smith in, and then all of a sudden, trying to negotiate an extension, apparently, they need to move on from Geno as well, and they do that 2 years after they move on from Carroll. I like the fit back in Las Vegas for Geno. I think him and Pete Carroll are going to be good together, but I just don't know what this means for the Seahawks, and I'm not sure I like the move.
Well, it's a mid-off at the quarterback position in the NFL this offseason. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, but God, I mean, we look around the league. It is not a good time if you are looking for a quarterback. We get to the next here on Sports Sunday, but first, Jordan Schultz with a sports desk update from the new George Allen Sports Desk.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boy, if you need a quarterback right now, this is not the year for you. I felt like I was reading an article or something somewhere about what teams are looking for and who, what team is talking to who and what team is considering what quarterback. And I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible.
Kind of sad, isn't it?
Yes. I was like, for the love of God, man. Like, what was it a couple years ago where we had like Lamar Jackson on the market and I felt like there was a couple other good quarterbacks that were available as well. And I'm like, my God, yeah. If you're a team in need of a quarterback right now, I feel sorry for you. I mean,
even last offseason was a lot better, I feel like.
I mean, like right now, Aaron Rodgers, who probably just shouldn't play quarterback anymore, he could be going to the Vikings. Apparently, there's mutual interest there as well.
We all called it. If he goes to the Vikings after going to the Jets, a la Brett Favre, like, hey, man, like this is who his career was meant to be, was Lil Brett.
You know, I'm not going to bag on him so much. His stats from last year look pretty good, and the Jets were terrible. So, like, he still managed to throw for almost 4,000 yards. His touchdown to interception ratio is not terrible. See what's left in the tank, old A-Rod. I don't mind.
I think it would be hilarious if he went to the New York Giants. I mean, they, quite honestly, that's, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the move that he ends up making, because he's desperate, they're desperate. It's a match made in desperation.
Do you think their fans would be down for that?
No.
For Aaron Rodgers coming in?
But Giants also, fan, yes, because you've had Daniel Jones the last 4 years and mixes of Tommy DeVito and Drew Locke in there. So I actually think that, yeah, they probably wouldn't mind having Aaron Rodgers on the team.
Well,
so.
Considering that, you know, like Jordan said, Aaron Rodgers didn't have the Aaron Rodgers-esque season that we're used to seeing, but, you know, he did throw 28 touchdowns to the Jets receivers, you know. So, and mind you, two of
granted,
Jets
four of those were in the last game of the year when it didn't matter, and he was just trying to get a 500 passing yard record or whatever.
Yeah, and two of those receivers for the Jets were, you know, are super super legit. Let's go ahead and say that at least one of them was. But I don't know. I think Aaron Rodgers, you're going to make money off the fact that you've got Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. He's a legend, regardless of how we want to feel or what we want to say about him. He is a weirdo, blah, blah, blah. And it's all true. Let's just be real. But, you know, when you put him under center, he's going to make things happen for you, even for a crappy team like the Jets. So I can imagine what he could do with the Justin Jefferson and some of those weapons that the Vikings have, if that were the case. But going to the going to the Giants, I mean, yeah, you got neighbors. And outside of that, it's kind of like, all right, you know, what are we doing? So I think the smart play for Aaron would be, in my opinion, would be the Vikings, if that was really a thing.
The Jets apparently are interested in Justin Fields, and they feel like his best quarterback, best football is ahead of him.
Stop it. That's just hilarious.
And the Steelers, I think, are also considering bringing Justin Fields back, which means that Russell Wilson will be looking for a new home probably because he was just on a one-year deal over there.
I will say I was impressed with his ability to kind of change it up. You know, Pittsburgh's very different, and I do still believe that when you have two quarterbacks, you have none. But Pittsburgh was able to make lemonade out of lemons with you know, two quarterbacks all season. It was pretty crazy to see Justin Fields come in and in the NFL change the pace of the game just because of the run.
Well, they were able to until they weren't. And the end of the season, true. I mean, they lost, I think, was it four straight games going into the playoffs?
Yeah, it was bad.
And any good team they played down the stretch, they lost by multiple scores.
They got figured out. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the Russell Wilson experiment ended up kind of running its course. And again, where he ends up going, best of luck. I'm trying to think. There were some other quarterbacks that were or other teams on the list. I mean, again, we kind of talked about it in that last segment as far as the Seattle Seahawks, as far as what they're going to do. If they go the Sam Darnold route, you know, I don't consider it much of an upgrade. And especially if you're losing two weapons in Tyler Lockett, who was not Tyler Lockett of the past, but still very serviceable, DK Metcalf, like, are you going to replace that? Like, what are you going to replace that with?
Are you
going to go to Noah Fant more often?
Not just DK, but, you know, obviously a Tyler Lockett as well. So you're losing your receiving core for the most part, with the exception of Smith and Jigma or like you said, Fant. So where... how do you move from here if you're the Seahawks? Now, I think this is you lose DK Metcalf, you're in a rebuild. We can go ahead and just call this a do-over, because you've lost your one X factor that you really have on the offensive end. I love Smith and Jigma. I think he could really be a stud given the right situation and the right quarterback. But I think DK Metcalf is just waiting for his opportunity to be a superstar, and he really hasn't got a chance to do that yet. So I think they have a lot of decisions to make, you know, if you're the CEOs. This is beyond the draft. They got to do stuff in free agency. They got to make some trades. They got to figure out a way to stay afloat, because the NFC West isn't getting any easier.
Gosh, the Minnesota Vikings, also, I saw this one. They might have to go the Daniel Jones route for next year.
Yikes.
Dear God.
Yikes. Yeah, I've seen some of that being thrown out there. That's weird.
Pray for them.
Man, go find Shane Falco or Paul Crewe or something like that, man. Please don't go get Justin Fields, or don't get any one of these other quarterbacks to come in there and do this job, especially if his name is Daniel Jones.
It would only be temporary, right? Because J.J. McCarthy, you know, probably wouldn't be down for more than a couple games coming back from that injury.
Yeah, but, you know, we'll see what he looks like coming back from a knee injury.
They're Daniel Jones.
Playing his first real NFL snaps ever. You know, he played a half in a preseason game, and that was it so far. I mean, to say that J.J. McCarthy is going to just like, oh, well, it's his job, and it's just going to be his, he'll take over, and I'll be good. I mean, I didn't think J.J. McCarthy was going to be a good NFL quarterback to begin with. So, again, we'll see when he comes back from injury. But, yeah, if this is not a good offseason if you're a team in need of a quarterback, because your choices are dog water. I mean, you're looking at an aged Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold, who is coming off his best season. But again, I think that has a lot more to do with the system, coach, and players that you had in place at Minnesota. It was the perfect storm. I mean, hell, we saw what happened to Kirk Cousins as soon as he, you know, granted, left Minnesota. Now it was off of an Achilles injury, but he has not looked good since then. Granted, I would say Kirk Cousins' best football was when he was in Minnesota, even before his, you know, compared to his Washington years. I think he played his best when he had Kevin O'Connell as his coach. If you're an NFL franchise in need of a quarterback, good luck. Good luck this offseason.
Yeah, or unless you hit it big in the draft with some kid that nobody's paying attention to. But other than that, it looks pretty bleak out there.
Let me put my tinfoil hat on. I think that there's a very, very good possibility that the Seahawks will end up drafting a quarterback, because, like you guys say, it's just absolute dog water out there. Kirk Cousins, he's available through trade. He told Atlanta that he wants to go somewhere where he could start. So I don't know if that attracts anybody to a Seattle game. Like, I want to go buy a ticket to watch Kirk Cousins. But the fact,
like I said, it's a mid-off right now, this offseason.
It is.
But not just the quarterbacks, but the teams, too. These are all teams that are either in the middle, middling around, trying to make the playoffs, or not even near the playoffs last year. Like, this is just, it's just sad, really. It's just sad.
And that, the sadness is making me put my tinfoil hat on. What do you guys think of Seattle drafting a quarterback and bringing in Russell Wilson again to kind of lead the way to that, you know, runway of the next quarterback? Because
would Russell be with it, though? And I think that's the big thing.
What, like, is he, 36?
I mean, would he be willing to go back to Seattle?
You know,
especially if he's being traded there, potentially. But if he's being I'm sorry, if he's just going as a free agent, or I think, I don't know, you let go of your franchise's greatest quarterback ever, the person that got you 2 Super Bowls and won one of them for you, and you dismissed him like he was dog water. And so I don't know if Russ or if his wife would allow them to go back to Seattle. I don't think she wants to go back to Seattle.
Yeah, I think Russell Wilson's best days are behind him as well. I think that it's a matter of he's going to try and find a spot to start, but going back to Seattle to be a backup to a Jackson Dart or something, he's going to want to go somewhere where he thinks he can start. And quite frankly, I think he has a case as to, like, hey, I think that I'm still a start in this league with how it went last year in Pittsburgh. But as far as how it will go with a new regime, new team, I think the best you've seen out of Russell Wilson is behind him.
Can I ask you this then? Just before we break.
No.
Is Russell Wilson better than Sam Darnold right now?
No.
No.
Is he better than Justin Fields?
Yes.
Right now?
I guess.
He can throw the ball. Justin Fields can't throw the ball. So.
What about Daniel Jones? Is he better than
Yes.
Yes.
So there's 2 quarterbacks that we've said already that.
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk is hurt, but I mean.
Okay, a Kirk Cousins that has an ACL to throw off of.
Yeah, I mean.
Or an Achilles, right?
If that's the case, yes, but as present, no.
I mean, I hear you. And that's where it's like if you're the Giants and you're the. Aaron Rodgers has gone to the Vikings, and you're kind of sitting there like, dude, we need a quarterback. We can't throw Tommy DeVito out there again. It's like, are you taking...
We had the Tommy Cutlets era.
Are you taking Russell Wilson? Probably. And you'll roll with that, and you'll pray for the best.
I think that's one of those situations to where anything is better than what we had.
I mean, if you're the Vikings and Aaron Rodgers goes to the Giants and you're like, well, we need a quarterback, are you going with Daniel Jones or Russell? I would probably go with Russell Wilson. At least I know he can throw the ball downfield.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised if somebody came calling to Los Angeles, too, after Matt Stafford signed a new deal to get Jimmy Garoppolo. He still, the Rams said if they didn't. No, hear me out. The Rams said, and I'm a Rams fan, I don't want him under center for him, but the Rams said if they traded Stafford away, they would have been comfortable with Garoppolo. I don't know if they're lying, but I wonder if teams would be knocking on the door in this just terrible wave of mediocrity. Of quarterbacks this
Yeah, I think they're lying to themselves if that's the case.
Probably.
I think we really believe in Jimmy. I think he can get it done for us. Just yeah, don't throw more than 10 passes.
Done with porn stars.
This is just ugly offseason for teams needing quarterbacks and what's available. And some of the questions are going to get answered as far as in the draft. Whether it's the Giants, the Titans, the Seahawks, they pick 18th, whether they'll trade up or stand pat and go with the Jackson Dart. Time will tell. We are about 2 months away from the NFL draft, but still a lot of decisions left to be made out there when it comes to teams and their future quarterback. Take a break, but there's some news in the NFL this morning. We have an extension signed, a player who requested a trade, who I thought he was definitely gone. Didn't think he would be coming back to the same team. That is not the case. We get to that next year. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. In hour number 2, we will have Roy Pittman in the studio with Rashad and I, local wrestling coach legend. Rashad knows much more about the man than I do.
Oh, yeah, man.
Just came back with a flyer of some sort.
Yeah, yeah. You know, just some reading material. You know, some notes of sorts, and people will hear more about it. But, yeah, I'm excited for our guests for a lot of different reasons, but I don't know. I know some other people are a little more excited about, you know, getting the bag, I heard.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
I heard,
what are you talking about? Oh, yeah.
A bag means money, Joe.
Yes, I teased it before going to a commercial break, and then I completely forgot what you're talking about.
Straight cash, homie.
But there is some cash being thrown around in the NFL, and that cash is going to one Myles Garrett. No.
Get paid.
A trade is not happening. Myles Garrett is not being traded from the Cleveland Browns. He has agreed today to a record contract extension that averages $40 million per year and includes $123.5 million in guaranteed money, which makes him the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Seems like that happens every offseason.
Every year, somebody's getting
someone becomes the new highest paid
whatever.
Non-quarterback.
It's going to happen like six times this offseason.
That's a lot of money.
But, I mean, yes, and rightfully so for a player of Myles Garrett's caliber. But the Cleveland Browns, I mean, that is a trade that I felt like needed to happen for the Cleveland Browns, a team that needs to recoup some draft picks, recoup some money that they need to build this team back up from square one, because after that Deshaun Watson deal, which is the worst in sports history, where they lost draft picks, they restructured the deal, but still have had to pay him a butt ton of money and still do. I felt like this was a trade that Cleveland needed to make. And then also with having the number two overall pick, that you had the potential of having a guy like Abdul Carter falling into your lap, who is possibly the best player coming out of this draft, but definitely the best edge rusher, that you were able to essentially find that replacement. Now, obviously, Abdul Carter is not Myles Garrett. Could he become Myles Garrett? Time will tell. But I felt like you were in a situation that you could have made that happen, because Tennessee, but again, Tennessee very well could say, you know, we're good on a quarterback in this draft. We're good on not taking Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, or even trading out of that first pick for someone that wanted one of those guys, or even wanted Abdul Carter number one overall. That was maybe that's where Cleveland was in a spot where it's like, listen, we can't guarantee that we're going to get him at number two. What we can guarantee is money to Myles Garrett. And so Myles Garrett, he gets his bag. Now, good luck to the Cowboys, who don't learn their lesson from what happened with Dak and CeeDee Lamb. And they're going to have to now one up the Cleveland Browns and pay Micah Parsons at least $40 million a year. So good job on them and Jerry Jones not learning their lesson. But that's for a whole nother point, whole nother discussion. And Myles Garrett, now the highest non-paid quarterback in NFL, going back to the Cleveland Browns. So good for them, I guess.
Well, I mean, incredibly well deserved. Like, let's just, you know, be real. Myles Garrett is one of them ones.
He was gonna get this money wherever he went.
Wherever he went, he was gonna get it. You know, he had 14 sacks on the year, which is, you know, second in the league. He's tied for ninth for forced fumbles. Like, Myles Garrett is just one of those guys that just, you know, you put him out there and you put him on a good team, a team that's on track to win a Super Bowl or compete for a Super Bowl. If he'd have, you know, been able to slip to the imagine if he was able to slip to the Lions or some team that really doesn't need the Eagles, some team that really doesn't need any additional help.
Nervous as hell that the Eagles were somehow going to make
that
happen.
Like, I mean, seriously, and imagine Myles Garrett going to a team that's right there and ready to compete. And
waiting for that news breaking headline, Eagles trade for Myles Garrett. Are you effing kidding me?
And watch the rest of us lose our S because Myles Garrett is just going to terrorize the league. But luckily for us, he gets to do it in Cleveland. And Cleveland's in a great spot because if Tennessee indeed does go into Abdul Carter, number one, you need a quarterback if you're in Cleveland right now. And that means Cam Ward will fall number two to you. I don't think anybody's looking at Shedeur at this point. Honestly, I like Shedeur Sanders, but if Shador's last name wasn't Sanders, if it was Jones, I don't think anybody would care as much. I don't think there would be as much stock in Shedeur. I think he's good. You know, I think he's more, I think he can throw his receiver a little better than a Cam Ward can, but I think Cam Ward is probably a better overall prospect. So if Abdul Carter indeed does go number one, then I hope Cleveland isn't dumb and takes a Travis Hunter at number two or something like that. Hopefully they go quarterback and it's Cam Ward, because it looks like that's where your focus is going to be. And you're going to get him cheap. So you're going to get a quarterback for 3 years for cheap. That's a good thing if you're Cleveland. So, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping all this is good for everybody else, especially the NFL, because I don't think any of us expect much from Cleveland as a whole. Maybe you are afraid of that defense because of what Myles Garrett can do, but you don't have to worry about Cleveland being like a huge factor this year, at least.
Apparently, I jumbled up my words according to the text line. I said the highest non-paid quarterback. Highest paid non-quarterback.
I screwed it up in my update, too.
Oh, okay.
It's hard to say.
Maybe that's where it came from. I was going to say, I didn't listen.
Sorry, Mr. Perfect.
No, we're going to see this. We're going to see this like six times this offseason, and it's just one of those times where whoever's writing it is super excited to write the highest paid quarterback.
What?
Highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Is that how? Is that right? That's right. Okay.
Highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history.
Get your money, young man. You know, no, 29 years old, man. Like, go ahead, Myles Garrett. You deserve it. If there's any player around the league that we could say, like, you deserve it. And look, think about this. Over the last 10 years, I think there have been two players on defense that I'm like, you are a generational talent on defense.
From going to possibly murder Mason Rudolph 5 years ago.
Oh, that's helmet swing. Iconic.
To now being the highest non-quarterback. Wait, highest quarterback paid?
Non-quarterback.
Non-highest quarterback paid.
Bingo.
There we go.
Nailed it.
Going on a murderous rampage.
A lot of people thought his career might be over after
that. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He just tried to kill him.
He really did take a swing.
Someone call security.
That's a dude that you don't like. It's Myles Garrett. It's always the quiet ones. Like, Myles Garrett, like, to media and everybody, this is a quiet dude. Don't say much. Just kind of, you know, I'm just kind of out here. You know, hey, guys.
Reminds me of that.
My name's Myles.
Reminds me of that Key and Peele segment of the UFC fighters or whatever.
Oh, and is he serious?
Like
one
of them's like guys ever.
Yeah. Well, one of them's like Brazilian, but he's just like so monotone. He's like, I will take his soul and rip it out of his mouth.
Wait, what did he say?
Maybe. It's just like, yeah. I thought we were just going to fight.
That's Myles Garrett. So
I will send him to the depths of whatever God that he prays to. And it's like, I thought we were just going to fight.
Yeah.
What's he talking about here?
That's Myles. So, man, congratulations to him. And this could be the start of really good things for this Browns franchise.
Yeah. And again, I referenced it. It's really bad things for my Cowboys because now Micah Parsons, who is going to be next in line for the deal, is like, well, how about that?
Well, pay him.
Hey, Jerry.
Listen.
Weird.
If you're the
Should've
Cowboys,
done that off season ago, buddy.
But, yeah. If you're the Cowboys, like, you're in no position to start trying to bargain with people, you know, and like, hey man, give him his money. If
but again, like,
keep him there.
Don't
is
wait.
Is he not worth it? Yeah, no, they don't wait. But is
this
he
why
not
you don't
worth
wait?
It?
This is why you get the deal done. Like Jerry Jones, Dallas Cowboys. Do you want Micah Parsons on your team? Yes. Sign him. Give him what he wants and get it done early, so that way you don't have stuff like this happen, and then you are now having to pay even more. Like, you effed up again. You thought you would have learned from Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and waiting and waiting and waiting to sign those deals, and then you did, and now they account for like 40%, 45% of your cap hit next year. So, best of luck to them. Best of luck to the Browns, where Myles Garrett's going to get paid to play really good football and then just have to sit on another 5-12 season, possibly. So
yeah, I mean, welcome to the NFL.
So Myles Garrett, he gets paid. He will not be getting traded to a contender, to any team. He will stay on the Cleveland Browns. He is the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history.
DK Metcalf, take notes.
Well, he's not getting $40 million a year, but
I get something.
Well, he's going to get something.
You want to keep me, Seattle?
No, not $40 million a year.
Pay me. Seattle got it.
We're going to take a break, though. Hour number two, we got Roy Pittman, local wrestling legend, who Rashad told me rumors that he has been on the receiving end of a Rock Bottom and a Stone Cold Stunner.
He did not say that, but yes, he probably, like I said, he probably trained everybody else. So I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, two of those two guys were under Coach Pittman as well.
Well, that's disappointing. I don't want to do the interview anymore. If he hasn't been on the receiving end of the Stone Cold Stunner,
get
then
get your ass out, then Joe. I'll do this normally. No, but yeah, I don't know if he's taking any of those.
No, I'm excited to meet Roy, talk a little bit more about him with wrestling, and also just the athletics that come with being a great wrestler. Because I too was once a great wrestler, Rashad.
Really?
Yes, in seventh grade, and then I quit after 2 months and realizing I didn't like wrestling. So, yeah.
Little wiry kid you were, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. I mean, my oily hips, they just weren't, you know, I couldn't get them activated quick enough to get
the
pin
down. I'm sure you could have been a factor.
I'm trying to imagine Joe the Third as a wrestler, and I just can't. So.
I think what did it for me was one drill or one exercise where, like, when you're warming up and you have to do the knee drag, where you take one step and then you drag the knee and you step. And so you're always in this like crouching on one knee position and you're going across the mat dragging the one knee and then stepping with the other leg, and you're always it just got to me one day. And I remember
home with some rug burns. It was like, Mom, look.
I remember my sister was at that practice though. Like, she was just hanging out watching, and we go and get water, and I was just like, yeah, I don't think I like wrestling.
Mom,
I don't think I
like
this.
Dad, I'm not going back tomorrow. I've decided.
Sorry. I'm a basketball player.
Yeah, I'm a hooper.
Worked out much better.
That's why people choose hoop. Like, yeah, can't do this wrestling thing. I'm going to play basketball.
Let's get Roy Pittman here, though, and talk about some wrestling, his career, what he's done for the community as well. Hour number two, Sports Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan.
Dude. Well, I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
If I get drunk,
hour number two here on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher. Across the table is Rashawn Taylor, as always. If you missed hour number one, you can get it wherever you get your podcasts. Jordan Schultz behind the glass, as always. Hour number two, though, is going to be a bit different right now because we got two guests. Two. I thought we were only going to have one. But how lucky are we to have two guests?
That's what I do. I provide surprises all the time.
Yes, you definitely surprise me with two guests. I mean, we've had different people in before as one, but we have two here today. We have Roy Pittman, coaching legend in the wrestling community here in Portland, owner of Peninsula Wrestling. And then we have Dr. Dustin Bindriff. I'm hoping I pronounced the last name right. Yes, they're both here in studio to talk about what Coach Pittman has done for the wrestling community. And then it's my understanding that Dr. Dustin here has helped a lot with the behavioral and mental health side of things with coaching kids in the wrestling game. And great to have you guys both here in the studio. Appreciate you coming in.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate it. I know it's early. Like, early on Sunday, you know, usually it's getting ready for church or usually something like that. So most people aren't usually able to come hang out for a little bit on Sunday. So I appreciate the both of you for being able to make it in.
Well, I can tell Coach Pittman, he already hit the mats this morning. He already got his workout in. I'm sure he was up at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., working out already. That I'm already getting the vibes.
How'd you guess?
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. I have a feeling. He brought in the rings as well. Oh. The championship rings. Well, give me the backstory. What are both of those shiny rings on the fingers for?
Well, the first one is for Portland State when we won the national championships.
There you go.
2 years in a row.
2 years in a row?
Yeah.
Damn.
Took five guys. All five won national championships. And the other one, the red one, is I'm a gold coach for the United States.
Oh.
In wrestling, yes. One of the few we have in the world.
Nice.
If you didn't know, Coach Pittman was also a coach for the 1984
yes.
Olympic trials and or the trials,
games.
Correct? Games.
Yeah.
Forgive me. So in Los Angeles.
Yes.
So yeah, the resume is deep, really, for both of these guys. Like Coach Pittman, for those who don't know, legendary around the city of Portland. Over what at this point over 60, 70 state champions, somewhere around there.
I don't even count.
Yeah, don't even count. You stop counting anymore.
No,
I remember
count.
There was an article that came out like in 2000.
What a humble brag right there.
Seriously,
like,
right? There was an article that came out somewhere around 2014. I was looking up stuff the other day, and I said, man, and this is 2014. It said over 50 state champions, and that was then. And so 10 years later, I'm sure I know a few of them just being coming to the gym and seeing some of those kids that are in there and just doing crazy stuff. hear your story, Joe. So first day I take my son to wrestling, we show up on the wrong day. So like Mondays and Wednesdays or Fridays are days for like some of the younger students. Students are still learning. They're kind of, you know, kind of starting to cut their teeth in wrestling. And I think Tuesdays and Thursdays are for the big boys, for the ones that are, you compete nationally. Like you're super, super dope. So went there the first day, and there's a young man there, and I'm looking at his feet and looking at him wrestling. I was like, oh, you definitely play football. And apparently he's going to University of Washington. Is that correct?
Yes, he is.
That's awesome. And so you can see his feet. Looks like he plays offensive line. The way he's moving is like, oh, he's going to be such a beast at some point. And so, and Dustin, I know your son wrestled for Peninsula. Is that correct?
I wrestled.
You wrestled for Peninsula.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
your brother and I. Yeah, okay.
I grew up there and then coached there for a number of years. He was a mentor for me, and now he's my friend.
Now, what do you remember about being a young student at Peninsula?
They were very good. Yeah. It was intimidating. I think one of the biggest things I always tell people I took away from them is, you know, the sport of wrestling and sports in general, you're gonna learn a work ethic. Being at Peninsula, you get an understanding of what it takes to be the best and understanding that price. And then as you grow, you can transfer that into other arenas.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What I mean, and you have... Dustin, you've also done some pretty incredible things. For those who, like we, Joe mentioned earlier, Dr. Dustin, mm-hmm. Doctor of Education, University of Washington mm-hmm. alum. I know that's not going to make everybody
gonna
here
say, you know,
super happy.
As an Oregon Duck, you know, that ruffles my feathers, no pun intended, but we'll let it pass this time.
Yes, yes. But also, he's also a Viking, also a Portland State Viking. Mm-hmm. So, I think we can you know, forgive you a little bit for going to Washington. But I just want to ask you, like, as someone who works in education, as someone who works with especially with students who may have some mental health disorders or disabilities or anything like that, how do you think wrestling can help those students, like, kind of come into their own?
Well, I guess I would start with first thing, sports in general is going to help. One of the surest ways to improve your mental health is physical exercise. The other big thing that's really special about Peninsula and why I wrote a book about belonging is it's a community. The other thing that's going to help your mental health is being around friends, being around people that you like and like you and want to be around you. So those are two very reliable ways where Peninsula and sports can offer that. I guess a lot of the reason for writing it, you know, you see in schools, it's really hard to find community anymore. You see a lot of it now. My book was really one of the first to talk about belonging, but you see, you know, the Surgeon General just talking about it as a social phenomenon where a lot of people feel very isolated and alone. So Peninsula is very unique. Like you said, over five decades, there's a very rich community. And that can't just be, you can't just replicate that.
Right.
That's earned. So, you know, that's why I love any chance I get to come and talk about Coach and what he does is a pleasure.
So, Rashad and Coach Pittman, you dropped the fact on me that you were part of the 1984 Olympic team coaching that team, correct?
Yeah.
Gotcha. What was your what? Because we actually have the Olympics coming back to the U.S. Was that 2028?
Yeah,
I believe.
I think the next games, I believe.
So I mean, let's kind of go back down memory lane. What was your favorite other than all the winning that you did at the Olympics? But was that the only Olympics you ever been a part of? But also, what was the most fond memory from that 1984 Olympic summer?
Well, it wasn't the competition. It was walking out of opening ceremony.
Yeah. Mm.
Walking out and looking up and seeing all the people. And you see all those people through the Coliseum and you go, wow, I'm here.
Yeah, and I'm sure that had to be awesome just being here in the States, too, for that Olympics.
That was nothing. Then they turned pigeons loose. And you know, pigeons, they flock and they get nervous and they flew one way. Then they flew the other way and they flew off. And to all the spectators, it looked beautiful. But what do pigeons do when they get nervous?
make a mess.
I was underneath those pigeons. So
That's what I remember
that's
the most.
That's good luck, though. That's probably how we won. Like, a lot of people say if a bird poops on you, that's good luck. You know, those old wise tales.
Well, I guess that's why I'm lucky, because they really pooped on me. Let me show you. So
that's awesome. That's awesome.
So 1984 Olympics, did you guys end up, you said five gold medals or five separate winners of gold medals?
This was for the national championships at Portland State.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
Different kind of wrestling.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes. So, I mean, how do you go about winning, having that much success in the Olympics, like as a coach? I mean, there's so many great countries, great wrestlers all over the world, and it, like, I'm looking at the track record from the 1984 Olympics right now of all the winners. I mean, it's like you guys ran roughshod in the Olympics that year. I mean, it's, I see 9 golds, 13 total in just the wrestling category at the 84 Olympics. I mean, like, how do you coach a team that damn good where, I mean, Japan did all right, South Korea did okay, but you guys, again, 9 gold, the next closest country was 2. What was the formula for success that year?
Well, the formula, see, I was coaching for Columbia. And everybody, they always think about competition. And what I think about is output, not outcome. And if we get people to put out and do the best they can, the outcome will take care of itself. And we always think we can make winners. You can't make anything. People have got to make themselves. And myself, I don't coach wrestling. I coach kids. And I get kids to believe that they can do anything. Yes, and they can.
Yeah. Now that's, I mean, as a father of a 12-year-old, Rashad's got a son as well, trying to instill that, like, belief and self-confidence and that work ethic, I feel like that is sometimes that mental game that, you know, Dr. Dustin is preaching. It's like trying to have that sense of, like, you do belong and you do have the ability to be up there with the best. Trying to get past those hurdles sometimes is tougher than trying to teach them just the fundamentals of a game sometimes, it seems like.
Well, imagine this. People make choices and decisions based on their perception and awareness. And we tell kids, this has to be fun.
Right.
No, it's not. This is work. You know, their definition of fun is different than your definition of fun. And we forget about that. So I say, hey, we're going to go to work. And that's why we teach them a work ethic.
Winning is fun. And once students get to a point to where they're comfortable and they start winning, that's when I think for a lot of people, the fun aspect might kick in. For, you know, at first, if you're trying to get good at anything, it's work, right? I mean, I think the fun part is being around peers, being around people your age. So there's the camaraderie, the hard work that you do together. But in between there, like, my favorite times in football when I was young were doubles. Daily doubles in that time. It's the hardest thing that we'll do.
Speak for yourself there.
No, it was the hardest thing that we'll do, but that's the one time, you know, all you and all your teammates are going to be together and cracking jokes, and you take breaks together, and you go eat together, and you do everything like that. That's the fun part, but you know you're coming back to do real work and some real sweat after that. Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
You know, we show kids what they have in common with other kids of different races, different ages. Yeah. And we use wrestling. We wrestle to make better choices, because it's all about the choices you make now affect the rest of your life. And if you make good choices, good chances you'll be here. If you don't make good choices, you'll be in a place where you don't want to be.
Yeah, good point. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get back to talking to Coach Roy Pittman and Dr. Dustin Beyendreef here on Sports Sunday, giving us some great stories about wrestling, but also, again, the mental behavioral aspect of sports and athletics. Again, Dr. Dustin Beyendreef, Roy Pittman here in studio with us, and Rashad on Sports Sunday. We'll get back to it right after this break. All right, back here on Sports Sunday here. We've got two guests in the studio. Coach Roy Pittman, coach of Peninsula Wrestling with a decorated resume in wrestling, part of the 1984 Olympic wrestling team as a coach, where they won a ton of medals down there in L.A. And then we also have Dr. Dustin Beyendreef, but really a mental health behavioral coach for athletes. I mean, we're having some great conversations here in the commercial break. A quick question, though. I mean, You said that you had wrestled before and you wrestle at Peninsula Wrestling, but how did this relationship start? I mean, was it just a matter of you starting out as a wrestler, becoming a doctor and of education, and then realizing you can help in the wrestling community? And how did you guys sort of forge this relationship here?
Oh, goodness. So probably fourth, fifth grade, I started wrestling for Coach. So probably 35 years ago, I was very lucky. My dad was big into wrestling. He liked Coach's message. He felt like Coach had the best interests of his sons, you know, not beyond just winning, but as a person. I went through some. I'm a troublemaker by nature, and I'm very good at it. So I would get into a lot of trouble, and Coach was always there. When no one else was. And that was a young adult. And then just 25 years ago, graduated college early, and so wanted to go give back a little. And Coach, you know, was very supportive, and it was just very rich, and you saw the need in kids, and it was very much a learning process. I didn't know what I was doing. I had an accounting background. I was going to business school. And I said, oh, I'm going to stay here and work with Coach and some of these kids. And that was the start of my journey with him. And, you know, Coach is reliable, and that's where you trust. I tell people, you know, there's not a lot of heroes left. And he's very consistent and steady, and he's a great role model. And he's been good to me. So I have the good sense to stick around him.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Coach, I want to ask you something. So my son and me, I guess, we are ginormous professional wrestling nerds. Like, we WWE, you know, all that stuff. Like, we get lost in it sometimes. As somebody who's taught amateur wrestling, you know, for years, for over 50 years, like, how do you feel about wrestlers, especially people with awesome wrestling pedigrees that decide to kind of take a turn and start competing, like, in the professional ranks for, like, pro wrestling?
Well, it's money.
Oh, for sure.
And it's fake.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely predetermined. For sure.
You just hurt Rashad in his soul so much there.
No, but it's definitely predetermined. I'll say this. All of my favorite wrestlers.
That's a good way to put it. Predetermined.
No,
not
seriously.
Fake.
It's predetermined. I mean, those injuries are super real that some of those guys face. But a lot of my favorite wrestlers are guys that have these amazing amateur backgrounds.
Yes.
Kurt Angle was one of my
that favorite. Was going to be my question, is if you ever got to meet Kurt Angle, because as a former someone who used to like watching wrestling, I know his whole shtick was I was a college champion wrestler.
He won the Olympics in 96. Yeah. You know, so. that was his thing, you know. So
what they do is wrestling is a sport, there's not money involved.
No. Why is that though?
Because it's boring. It's boring. And wrestling, like Coach Dusty says, it teaches you a work ethic. What we do is we outwork everyone. We're not afraid. I give people a new friend called Pat, and they love Pat. And Pat are the acronyms of pain, agony, and torture with a positive attitude today. So we just get out and work. Where other people, they want the quick fix. They want the money. They think money will solve all their problems, and they find out in the long run that it doesn't, because there's a price for everything in life. And sometimes the price is too high.
Huh. That's fair, yeah.
And these guys like Bruce Baumgartner was probably the best big wrestler we had in the United States. You know, he's just a great, great guy, and he's still giving back to wrestling. But other people like Chael Sonnen, they want to go.
Ask.
Yeah, he wants to go in other directions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chael's a great guy. He's awesome. Tyrell Fortune, Mike Pierce, Matt Lindland, all these guys, they're great. But, you know, but now they want to go do other things, and that's okay. But they know how to do it. They're not afraid to work. They're not afraid to fail.
Maybe if I could add something. You know, one thing you see with kids, and it's very hard, I'm sure you guys know better than me as parents, is teaching them how to respond to adversity. And that's what a lot of this is, what wrestling does. It's hard. It's not fun. You're going to get beat up, nose broke, what have you. But life, you know, has that adversity. And we make some kids, we make the mistake, they're so sheltered once they get out in the world that they're really not prepared to handle those things. And so one of the things you see in the research, it's helpful, small stakes, mistakes as kids that they can recover from, learn, see, you fall down, you get up, that whole process, you know, better equips them. Whereas, you know, you become a young adult and the first time somebody calls you a bad name, or, you know, you get a bad grade, or, you know, your parents get sick, and it can be very overwhelming if you haven't had any of that inoculation.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, again, we talked about it in the commercial break, and, you know, I think that there's a lot of dads that listen to our show and our station that have kids that are in athletics, and kind of mentioned in the last segment, too, is that trying to coach the kids on the mental game, that can sometimes be the toughest part than the actual fundamentals and techniques of certain sports. And, again, I know this is a lot that both of you guys deal with. But as a father of someone, and I was telling you about the commercial break, is my son, he plays soccer, he plays basketball. He feels he has his skill level in soccer is right up there and that he's good to go. And so, like, trying to have him motivated in that area, it's usually not as much of a task as it is with basketball, where now he made a jump up to playing with a lot better kids, some kids that have the same height as him, but play a little bit more physical. It's always trying to find the right words and what's going to be the thing that kind of ticks. And lately I've been telling him, like, hey, I remember I didn't want to listen to my dad. And then stuff started to happen when I was 17 and 18 years old, where I was like, oh, crap, my dad told me that when I was like 13, 14. And look what's happening now. As a dad, as a parent, what are maybe some suggestions for trying to coach your son or tell him or give him advice through those aspects, as you mentioned, the adversity, the hard work ethic, where, again, you want to make it fun, but you need to stress to them to the aspect, like, there are kids out there that are working and playing the game more physical, and how to essentially get that next level out of them where it does click for them, where they need to play it at a higher level, essentially.
Attitude. You know, I keep telling kids, you have to have the right attitude, because that will determine your altitude. And as a father or a mother, you cannot be objective with your own child. So you find someone else that will help you, and that's where a community comes in. Because a community will help you with your own child, especially during those times where they won't listen to you.
Yes, sir.
When you're out there competing, they don't hear you anyway.
Right, yeah.
You think they do, but they don't hear you.
Yeah, I've had to learn that the hard way, too. It's like, okay, I'm yelling here, but I for no don't reason. Think he's
you're
paying
just,
attention.
Just annoying people. Right. Don't be that dad. Don't be that person. You know, like, it's, you know, I'm sure we have a lot of coaches from that coach from the stands, yeah. You know, and a lot of sports. I'm curious. So I want to get both things, and I know we have to break here in a bit, but as a parent or and as a former wrestler, right, what's it like when you have a dad or somebody like barking at you from the stance about what your technique needs to be?
My dad was pretty intense. so we were very lucky too. Coach was very much a protector. Maybe that's, you know, some advice you could give parents. Find somebody you trust with your child. And so he was able to, coach was able to encourage my dad to, you know, take it easy and be sort of a buffer in that. And he had that level of trust and respect. And so I would encourage you, you know, it's about quality of people, not all these things you pay, but find people that, you know, you trust with your child and you respect how they treat your child and that you want your child to be around.
Yeah. I love this conversation again, because I feel like it definitely, you know, translates a lot to what our listeners are going through, maybe with their own kids, and, you know, whether they're in the middle school age or high school age, competing, or even in the college ranks as well. So I love having this conversation. We're going to take a quick commercial break and get back to it. I'm intrigued to talk a little bit more about professional sports as well, because I feel like this is something that we see a lot of in different leagues, is motivation, hard work,
what people are doing it for, what is your why? You hear a lot, the reason behind people's motives. So I want to kind of get into that a little bit more here next. But in the studio, we have Coach Roy Pittman of Peninsula Wrestling and Dr. Dustin Beindriff of Peninsula Wrestling as well here in the studio on Sports Sunday. We will get back to them next. But first, Jordan Schultz with a Sports Center update. All right, back here on Sports Sunday, we got Coach Roy Pittman, Peninsula Wrestling coach, decorated wrestling coach for Portland State Vikings. Go Vikes, blow the horn. Also, 1984 U.S. Olympics coach as well, where they won a ton of medals out there. We also have Dr. Dustin Beindriff here in the studio as well, who's a coach over at Peninsula Wrestling, but does a great job with the mental health, behavioral aspect for wrestling and for those athletes over there. So great 1-2 punch having them in the studio here. Rashad passed me a flyer because he's just trying to do some self-promotion. He just wants people to come see him and hear his buttery vocals.
That's not true. You know what I mean? Like, so.
But on Saturday, March 15th, is the Two Style Classic out at Centennial High School. What are the ages in this? You said your boy is going to be wrestling.
This will be my son's first adventure.
This is just self-promotion for him, I feel like. I think that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get some colleges to give his son a look. He's only thinking about himself.
Color me selfish, man. Like, but it's one of those things. I want everybody to show up, not just to see my kid, but to see all these kids out there. I get a chance every Monday and Friday to go and watch. Wednesday nights I work. So I get a chance to go and see my son participate. I have to leave. I'll be real. I think Coach sees it all the time. I have to leave the gym when my son is wrestling because he has a bad habit of looking at me the whole time. And I'm like, son, you can get your ass whooped out there if you're watching me instead of watching your opponent. And so I like to leave the gym because I feel like he doesn't have to focus on what dad is doing and if dad is watching and what dad thinks, and he can absorb all the information. And every day that I've done it, he comes home and has something new that he learned today. Oh, today we learned this, and today I learned how to this. And that's cool because I don't think he'd be able to get that same experience if I was there.
Well, he will. Kids seek approval. And a lot of boys and girls seek approvals from their parents. But their parents have to be aware of that, and that's why they have to shut up.
Oh, okay.
And that's the hardest thing to do, is to shut up when your son is out there or your daughter's out there getting worked.
Yeah.
You know,
I have to tell them.
When they look at you, you just kind of throw your shoulders up. Like,
hey, man, like, what do you want? What do you want? What do we do?
And you know what's happening out there.
You know, I just try to tell my son to, and I think the biggest thing for him, like a lot of students today, he has an issue with focusing, right? He's ADHD, like all the stuff, but he has a real issue like with honing in and doing stuff. And I can see that he has no choice but to hone in.
Yes.
And kind of focus on things, because otherwise one wrong move and it's a wrap. I want to ask you, Dustin, as a former wrestler, what was that first, I guess, loss like for you? Do you remember that?
Oh, I think I started at 4, so.
Oh,
I remember,
geez.
I would be crushed because I was pretty hard.
What about that first loss as like I'm a little older, or was there a loss as you were
older? Oh, there were plenty.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to assume that she was out there getting pinned.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's always hard, absolutely. It's hard, it's crushing to your ego. You know, I have to applaud you for your willingness to step back. I feel like the kids that do the best with Peninsula, especially your teenage years, I think of it like sort of it's an adventure and a vision quest for these teens to go have their adventure and discover themselves and their strengths. And so often when parents, you're trying to manage and control it, but it's for them. It's a chance for him to learn. Oh, I have to focus my attention, you know, but it's theirs. There's ownership in it. And so having that, that's where, you know, they have a chance to want something, to experience disappointment, to learn and grow from it. And so as a parent, maybe, you know, find those things where your son can learn, especially at those teenage years, and explore and find who they are and
right.
Sort of get out from being a son, if that makes sense.
So as far as other sports go, where do you think... do you see a correlation with wrestling and other sports? Like, a lot of my wrestlers go and play this other sport, whether it's football. I feel like what you're talking about as far as the mentality, like, there's probably a lot of hockey players that like to wrestle as well. But again, like, where do you see, like, not just mentality, but also just the skills and things that are important physically in wrestling, what they translate best to in other sports?
Well, they have the ability to do anything and the competence. Kids of today do not have the motor skills that they had in the 70s and the 80s.
It's fair.
Because we won't give them a chance to develop.
Or fine skills like that. That's one thing I was focusing with my son on, is fine skills right now.
At Peninsula, we give them a chance to develop. And I protect them from their parents, because their parents sees one thing and I see another. You know, if you want to know what's down the road, you ask someone who's coming back, not someone who's going. And once these kids understand that, and Peninsula's a safe place where you can fail, you can do all this other stuff, and you won't be ridiculed. Your son gets in there, and he tries, and no one makes fun of him.
Now, the worst thing that happens in sports are overzealous parents. I think for me, that's the one thing that, whether you're talking youth basketball, youth soccer, any youth sport, parents usually, I used to do the Les Schwab Invitational, and I would get a chance to sit in the front row and watch some of the best basketball players, high school basketball players in the country. But I could also hear some of the worst parents in the country back there that would curse out the refs, curse out the coaches.
Maybe there's a correlation.
Anything like, how do you, as a legendary coach who's accomplished more in wrestling than most people will ever dream to accomplish in their own field, how do you deal with parents and bystanders that are a little more ruly at events or a practice?
Well, one, I get a relationship with them, and I don't insult their intelligence. All I want them to do is to look at me differently. And I will have a relationship with their son, but I will give them back to you once the job is done.
Yeah, and nobody wants to get beat up by Coach Pittman for being rude at, you know. Yeah, I'm pretty sure if not you, then one of your many coaches would have no problem taking the parent down.
But once you see the process, you know, the process, it takes a long time to grow an old friend. And these parents, they see the end product in a Coach Dusty here. I mean, I have people now that are one's head of the FBI, or their agents, or they're everything. But they get that drive through wrestling because they're not afraid to fail.
Now, I want to ask this because it brought me up. Again, I draw this all to kind of my personal experience, and I'll leave this to both of you to answer it. Is that player-coach communication? Because my son, he'll communicate a lot of the things that he's feeling mentally in the game of basketball to me, or how he wants to, you know, play a certain way or wants certain opportunities. And I tell him, like, buddy, I hear everything you're saying and I can give you suggestions here, but these are conversations that you need to have with your coach. You need to communicate with him. So for kids that maybe, you know, are struggling to have that conversation with their coach, you know, what is the best way for them to approach that? I mean, like, I just tell them that communication is key in all aspects of life. So what is maybe that barrier or something to help them get over that aspect of maybe they're intimidated by their coach? Maybe they are just scared that they're not going to be able to formulate the right ways to present what their issues are. What are maybe some suggestions for parents to tell their kids and how to approach that conversation? Because, I just tell them all the time. I'm like, I'm not going to talk to coach for you. Like, if there's certain things you want out of this game and you want to have that happen, you're gonna have to talk to him. So maybe some suggestions in that space for athletes and their parents of athletes.
What I do is I give a kid a voice, and I listen to the voice. Their definition of a coach is what we put in their brains. And all coaches are not going to listen. All coaches aren't going to do what they want them to do. So you find a coach that will. You
know, I want to see Coach Pittman mad. I'll be honest.
I don't. Mad at someone else, not me.
No, you've been around for a long time, Dustin. What's Coach Pittman like when he's mad? Or did you know? Have you ever seen a man?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's having flashbacks
when you're not performing to your potential. It's very direct. It's very clear that that's not acceptable. I do want to maybe, Coach does something that's very unique and very special. At the start of every practice, every kid, as they come in, they walk in and they shake hands and look all the coaches in the eye and say, hi, how are you? You know, one thing, so we're working on that communication you're talking about. They're comfortable talking to their coach. You know, that's a lot of what I see in schools. The other thing I tell people, you know, we were talking the other day, if teach kids how to be the kid that somebody wants to help. So how do you show your coaches, your teachers, other people that you want to learn, that you have this? And a lot of kids, they don't know how to express that. And so teaching them how do I show the coach I really want to learn this, and asking those questions, getting them comfortable talking to people that are, you know, their superiors, we'll call them in this sense, their coaches, whether it's teachers, and being comfortable with that. And then they're heard, right? And that's so much of it. And then now they feel like they're a part of a team. So it's a great question. And yeah, really teach your kid. How do you show your teacher that you want to learn this even though you're not good at it?
Yeah, that's a conversation I have with my son a lot, is that, you know, being coachable is obviously great, but showing that you want to be coached, you know, that's a little bit different, right? Like being able to be told something a coach is telling, but going and approaching that challenge and reaching out to the coach and saying, I want to get better. I want to do this. Can you show me? How do I do this? That's a lot different than just standing there and having the coach talk at you. We're going to take a quick break. We're almost wrapped up here on Sports Sunday, but love these conversations we're having with Coach Roy Pittman and Dr. Dustin Beyendreef here on Sports Sunday. We'll get to that next year. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. All right, last segment here on Sports Sunday. Coach Roy Pittman of Peninsula Wrestling, decorated wrestling coach here. Not just in the Portland area, but in the United States of America. Was a coach of the 1984 U.S. Olympic team. And then Dr. Dustin Beyendreef of also Peninsula Wrestling, doing great things for the mental health behavioral aspect of the wrestling community.
And as far as we know, this is the first doctor that we've had on any one of the shows.
Yeah, I feel like that's prime time. I feel like you're paying that money to get that MD behind your name that you let as many people know about that as possible.
Absolutely. So do you do you introduce yourself as Dr. Dustin?
Sometimes.
Yeah. I would all the time. Hi, I'm a doctor, Rashad. Nice to meet you. You know, I'm a doctor. I don't need to take this. I'm a doctor. Like us, that's how I would talk to everybody all the time. But the Peninsula Superstars presents a two-style classic. Coach Pittman, tell us a little bit about the two-style classic and really how it came about.
Okay, two-style is... The style that we do here in America is folk style, but the style that they do all over the world is freestyle. So we're going to do folk style and freestyle to introduce kids. Kids that might not want to do freestyle can do folk style.
Okay. Okay.
And once again, this is for kids. It's not for me, and it's for the sport.
Sorry, Rashad. You're not going to be able to throw around children.
I had my singlet and everything. I had my Peninsula singlet ready to go. Okay. Like, I'm trying to compete. There needs to be an adult section of this. But what do you look forward? What do both of you look forward? Because this is an annual event. So what do you look forward to about this event every year? I'll start with you, Dustin.
It's probably one of the best examples of community you'll find. You know, you have all the alumni come in. There's face painting. There's clowns. There's... oftentimes dancers, there's all kinds of performers. It's very much a party.
It's coaches. It sounds like a party.
There's everybody brings, all the parents bring their best dish, and it's there for free for the parents and the coaches. So it's very much a community event. It's really a special thing to me. And for the kids, it's for the kids, and everybody puts their best foot forward. It's a chance for the families and coaches to represent their team, and they go all out and do a great job.
Well, what's really cool about Peninsula Wrestling, and you know, I don't know if it was brought up earlier in the show or during a commercial break, but is that you get wrestlers from all over. You know, with the location being in North Portland, I mean, this being in Centennial High School, it's not like, oh, just kids from, you know, around 182nd in the Gresham area, kids in North Portland. You're getting people. You said he had a kid from Tillamook come to Peninsula Wrestling the other day.
Yeah. He just wants to come in. He wants to get better. And if you want to get better, this is the place.
Mm.
No pressure.
There's no basketball place like that. There's no football place like, man, you know what? I'm going to go over to take a ride out to Salem because they're really training kids great to be professional football players or to be on the next level for basketball. Like, so this is one of the only places I know that students come from mm-hmm. all around the city to say, you know what? I want to be trained right here.
Yeah, that's what I was impressive to hear is that, because that's a tough thing with being a parent too, is like, all right, well, where can I fit in? What's most convenient? What's closest to the house? But again, it sounds like you just get kids coming from all over for your gym, which speaks volumes.
Well, most programs today are a business.
Yeah. I mean,
and
yeah.
Peninsula is still a program.
And it usually, the business usually benefits the adults.
Yes. So. And this is still a program. It's for kids. And I make parents aware of that. No one's special. No one's better than anyone else. And you develop at your own time. And once again, everything there is volunteer. And we've been doing this for 55 years. Kids are the medicine for this country. They're the medicine that can heal it. So I want to make sure the country takes this medicine. Because a 10-year-old will be 20 years old in 10 years. And they'll grow up to be like a Coach Dusty here.
Hmm.
I mean, I've had over 200,000 kids come through the program. And they're out there now. They're disciples. They're out there now.
That's insane. My supervisor's daughter for, you know, I work for Portland Public Schools. It's my day job. And my supervisor's daughter happens to be now a two-time state champion and is actually one of Coach Pittman's wrestlers, one of the star pupils. And, you know, I just, as a person from Portland, as a person from the neighborhood, as a person that grew up across the street from Peninsula Park, and I've had so many amazing memories of that park, and some great, some bad. Now, I can't tell you how much I personally appreciate you and what you've done for this community, what you've done for Portland. You have an imprint on so many students. You've had an imprint on so many students' lives, so many families' lives, people that have gone on to do some great things because of you, including Dr. Dustin here, you know, and a lot of his influence, as he says, comes from Coach Roy Allen Pittman. So well, I appreciate you, and I appreciate you as well, Dr. Dustin, for giving back. That's one of the hardest things to do is for them to come back from wherever they kind of earned some success and come back to where they're from and really kind of impart that type of knowledge on students and families. So I appreciate you for what you've been able to do.
Yeah, appreciate you guys coming in. For more information, where do they need to go, Coach?
Go, we have a website, but you can come to Peninsula Park, look in Parks and Rec. We have a place there, but peninsulawrestling.org. It tells about our program, tells about what we do, why we do it, and how we do it.
Awesome.
Perfect.
And this program is for you. I do this. I have a granddaughter, and I do it for her.
That's awesome.
Because we have to model the behavior that we want our kids to have. Okay. If we don't model it, they'll pick their own model.
Yeah, right, right. Well, you are a great role model, sir. I appreciate you coming in, and it's it's clearly, you know, worked on Dr. Dustin there. It's worked on Rashad. Appreciate meeting you and you coming into
Thank you.
Studio.
March 15th.
Dr. Dustin, appreciate you and everything you're doing as well on not just the physical side of the sport and athletics, but on the mental side as well. So appreciate you coming into the studio as well, sir.
Thank you. You should buy his book.
Not a bad idea.
His book is awesome.
Yeah, perfect. Well, again, appreciate you gentlemen coming in today. It's great Sunday to have you guys in. Rashad, every Sunday, appreciate you as always.
Love you, my G.
Jordan Schultz, appreciate you guys as always.
Love you guys. Love you all.
My man.
I will be out for next weekend because of a basketball tournament down in state. So some great things to instill in my son. Great timing to give him an I Believe card before he goes to the state basketball tournament down there in Bend.
Absolutely.
But for everybody out there listening, if you missed this last hour, go back and podcast it. Some great stuff. If you are a parent of a athletic child in middle school, high school, or college ranks. But I will catch you guys in 2 weeks. But Rashad and Jordan will catch you all next Sunday on Sports Sunday at 9 a.m. Peace.